Hey, welcome to the Shia and Svarno Pashas Kiseitse. Beginning of Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vav, we find the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKein. Ki kari kan sipur lefonecho baderech, when the nest of a bird should be found before you on the road. Efrochim oveitzim, either chicks or eggs that are in the nest. The mother bird is sitting on the chicks or on the eggs. You shouldn't take the mother in addition to the birds. You should send away the mother bird. And then, only then, after sending away the mother bird, do you take the chicks or the eggs for yourself. In order that all should be good for you and you'll have length of days. What exactly is the reasoning behind this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein? So we know there's a well-known Gemara in the fifth parak of Brachos. The Mishnah there says, Ha'omer al kan sipur yagiu rachamecha mishaskin oso. If a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, you show mercy even to the mother bird, right, by sending her away, when taking her children. So Mishaskin also, that's an illegitimate tefillah. Why is it an illegitimate tefillah? So the Gemara brings two explanations. One of the explanations is, Sha'ose Mishpatov Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim Ve'inon Elegzeros. You portray the dinim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being somehow based on rachamim, on mercy. And in point of fact, they're not an act of mercy. They're simply gzeros. They're simply decrees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way the Rambam in his Mar Nevuchim understands that position in the Gemara is as follows. He says it's a mistake, according to this position in the Gemara, to think that sending away the mother bird has anything to do with showing mercy towards the mother bird. That's why the person who says, you show your mercies to the mother bird, certainly show your mercy to us, is mistaken. Who says that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is about showing mercy to the mother bird? Einon elegzeros, these kinds of dinim, these kinds of halachas, are simply divine decrees, and for us to see in them some kind of divine mercy on the mother bird is totally mistaken. That's the Rambam's explanation in Mar Nevuchim of that particular position in the Gemara. Parenthetically, we should add, the Rambam writes in Mar Nevuchim that we don't paskin like that particular approach of the Gemara. And, one could draw the conclusion from the Rambam that the way we paskin, we do assume that the sending away of the mother bird is an act of rachmanus, it's an act of compassion on the mother bird, so as that the mother bird shouldn't see, you know, that we're taking her children, her eggs, her chicks, whatever it happens to be. We have, you know, even v'rachmav kol masav, we have rachmanus on all of God's creatures. Even the mother bird should be spared the agony of seeing her chicks taken away. Doesn't mean we can't take away the chicks. Doesn't mean we can't take away the eggs. Nature was given to us for us to use. But again, we still have to show rachmanus in terms of how we deal with nature. The Ramban, here on this pasuk, quotes this Gemara, and he understands it in a way that's different than that of the Mar Nevuchim, that of the Rambam. The Mar Nevuchim understands the statement in the Gemara to mean that it's a mistake to assume that the mitzvos are about showing, that this particular mitzvah, Shiluach HaKein, is about showing rachmanus to the mother bird. And the other position in the Gemara presumably holds that it's legitimate to say that we're showing rachmanus to the mother bird. The Ramban spins this a little bit. He says as follows. It's not that we're showing rachmanus to the mother bird. Again, nature was given to us for us to use. And, you know, the notion of showing rachmanus to the mother bird as such isn't really something that we have to be concerned about. However, says the Ramban, by showing rachmanus, by showing mercy to the mother bird, we're inculcating within ourselves a sense of mercy. You know, human beings are wired in such a way that we can't just, you know, turn on an emotion and turn it off. You know, if we inculcate within ourselves a certain perspective, a certain midah, a certain way of doing things, it usually cuts across the board. So there may not be any idea of showing mercy to the mother bird per se. We need not be concerned necessarily with her feelings as a bird. However, by showing mercy, as it were, to the mother bird, we're making ourselves into merciful people. And says the Ramban, that arguably is the idea behind the mitzvah of Shiloach HaKein, by doing something that, if we were dealing with human beings, would be considered to be an act of mercy. It trains us to be merciful people in general. It's interesting, I mention all of this by way of introduction, because so often, and to understand the Sfarno and his terse language properly, you first have to compare and contrast the Sfarno with some of the perspectives that have come before the Sfarno. So here the Sfarno offers up a very unique understanding of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, which is interesting to compare and contrast with the positions of both the Rambam and the Ramban. He says, Hinei b'inyan Shiluach HaKein yesh eze gmilus chesed lehomon. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is an act of gemilus chasadim, an act of kindness. To whom? To the world population at large. So the world population at large, just one bird, right? Where do we get from this idea of showing mercy to this bird to showing mercy to the world population? I mean, what kind of bird is this exactly? So he goes on to say as follows: Shlo lahashchis zera ofos hasode shehem hefke. We don't want to destroy the seed, so to speak. We don't want to destroy the existence of the wild birds that are out in the field, right? Remember, the halacha is that the whole mitzvah Shiluach HaKein applies to a bird that one happens across, which is out in the field. It's more likely to be a wild bird that one would come into contact for this for the purposes of this mitzvah than a domesticated bird. These birds are hefker. These birds are ownerless. They're open to whatever happens to them in the wild. And if one, again, this one bird, sending away this one bird won't necessarily make a difference. But if people in general, when they come across a nest with a mother bird and babies, and they not only take the babies, but they take the mother bird, so ultimately that particular species of bird will become extinct. Because everyone, when they chance upon this mother bird plus its babies, will just take the whole kit and caboodle. By allowing the mother bird to go free, it's not about rachmanis for the mother bird. Again, like the Ramban said, we're not necessarily concerned about that to the point that the Torah would legislate that we have to be concerned about the feelings of the mother bird, but we don't want the species to go extinct. And by making sure that whenever we come across this nest, at least the mother bird is going to survive, shaleach tishalach esa'em, spare the mother, so that way we make sure that a certain species of bird is going to continue. Why do we care that a certain species of bird is going to continue? So, in the words of the Sfarno, it's gemilus chesed lehamon. It's an act of gemilus chasadim for the broader population. A very interesting idea. The Sfarno understands that the Ribbono Shel Olam created various different types of animals, birds, and the like, and it's in the world's best interest to preserve those different types of species. We don't want to mess up the ecosystem, as they would say nowadays. So the act of sparing the mother bird, one which ensures that this species is going to continue, is an act of chesed to the world itself. We don't really care so much about the mother bird, but we care about this species. Now again, as we pointed out before, this one individual who stumbles across a single nest and some chicks or some eggs, it's hard to imagine that he's going to make a difference in terms of the ecosystem of the entire world. But when you have a halacha like this, you know, that applies to everybody, again, if we didn't have this halacha, sooner or later, it might lead to a certain species becoming extinct. And this way, every person can play their role in making sure that this species of bird is going to be kept alive. There isn't a parallel idea in halacha of not eliminating or causing the extinction of a species, let's say, of animals. In other words, Shiluach HaKein only applies to birds. Perhaps the Sfarno would argue that since birds are particularly vulnerable, perhaps more so than animals. Maybe they have a harder time surviving. You know, in the wild, there's a specific focus on trying to preserve them, or just simply, not every person is going to have such a global impact, but by focusing at least on the birds, there's at least some idea of preserving the species and giving chesed to the world at large. Yeah. In other words, she might hurt herself, so to speak.
Right.
Okay.
So, the Svarno obviously isn't operating with that Gemara.
It could be. I mean, again, remember the Svarno is, saying al derech hapshat. From a pshat perspective, the mother bird may never find out what happened to her children. We're not necessarily worried that she's going to go and do something to herself. Right. It's not the first time the Svarno has said something al derech hapshat, independent of the Gemara. But even just al derech hapshat, the idea is don't destroy an entire family like this. At least send away the mother bird. The chicks, if you leave the chicks, they may not be able to fend for themselves. If you send away the mother bird, okay, so the mother bird will go and it will have more babies, it will have more, more chicks ultimately. And the species is going to be kept up. So the mitzvah is only on birds,
Right.
Now, so if you wanted to extend the idea of the Svarno al derech hashkafa, again, it's not halacha, you would come to the conclusion that the preservation of a species is a laudatory thing. In other words, if the wild buffalo is near extinction, okay, so we'll give up having buffalo meat, even if you don't hold like the Chazanish, we won't have buffalo meat. We just want to preserve the buffalo, save the whales, whatever it happens to be. In other words, you can't say that that's necessarily a halacha, but it certainly, al derech hashkafa would follow from the Svarno. So, what's that? Right. So in other words, why not use Tzar Bala Chaim as the reason over here behind the... Right, so I think the reason is as follows. Again, Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't preclude us from using nature, right? I mean, let's take the following example. You have two cows who are in the pasture, and they're best friends. They grew up together. They went to school together. Hopefully not two cows, but so what? The fine day comes. You take one of them out to shecht, and the other one feels terrible, right? I don't think we say that there's any problem with Tzar Bala Chaim over there. In other words, Tzar Bala Chaim doesn't preclude us from utilizing, nature in a way that's productive for us. So if it was, were it not for the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, so you say, okay, so I take the mother, I take the birds, I want to use them all, that they're Tzar Bala Chaim, I could kill them all very quickly and they're not going to be aware even of the fact that the whole family is going to be wiped out. If I do it 1, 2, 3, they won't necessarily even know, right? Right. So that also, who says that that's necessarily an idea of rachmanis? It could be that's a gzeiras hakosov, much the same way that the shiluach hakein is. Having said this, that there's this idea of the preservation of the species. The Svarno then goes on to give a very unique pshat in the last part of the pasuk. You should do this l'man yitav loch v'arachto yomim. You should engage in this mitzvah shiluach hakein in order that be good for you, and you have length of days. So here also, by the way, just in terms of the Svarno as a pashton, what the Svarno is about to say doesn't seem on the surface to fit in with the Gemara. He's saying al derech hapshat. We know that the Gemara cites this example of Shiluach HaKein as being a unique mitzvah, like Kibud Av V'Em, that carries with it the promise of Arichus Yomim. of length of days, longevity. And in fact, the Gemara then questions, there's at least one scenario in history where somebody, was simultaneously fulfilling Kibud Avraham and Shiluach HaKein, and he died prematurely. Right? The Gemara tells the story of a young boy who was sent by his father to climb a tree to retrieve the eggs that are in a certain nest to drive away the mother. So he did Kibud Avraham, he did Shiluach HaKein, and he fell down the tree on his way down and he killed himself. Right? So the question is, what about Leman Yitav Lo Farachta Yomim? What about the promise that the Torah makes both for Kibud Avraham and for Shiluach HaKein? So the Gemara answers, Leman Yitav Lo Farachta Yomim ultimately means reward in Olam Haba, in the next world, and doesn't always translate into reward in Olam Hazeh. Listen to the words of the Svarno. The Svarno says, Omar, concerning this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, the Torah says, Shafilu bezeh haktsas shel gemilus chasadim, even this small demonstration of gemilus chasadim, of kindness, yiyeh ochel peros ba'olam hazeh, the person will eat the fruits, the dividends of this act of gemilas chasadim in this world, but the principle that he will earn will be saved for him in Olam Haba, in the next world. So there's a few things that are noteworthy about this very short line in the Svarno. First of all, it's clear that the Svarno sees the example of Shiluach HaKein as not as a unique example where you get a special reward, but Shiluach HaKein now becomes a paradigm of the whole idea of Gemilas Chasadim. Shiluach HaKein is a small example of where a person can engage in chesed. And even for such an act of chesed, you get a principle of reward in the next world, and you get the dividends in this world. That's the pasuk, Leman Yitav Loch, Farachta Yomim. It will be good for you in this world because you'll get the dividends. Farachta Yomim, and you'll have length of days in Olam Haba, in the next world where the principle is going to be. Where's that idea that Gemilas Chasadim brings with it reward primarily in the next world, but it produces dividends for this world? So as we know, if you get the shul early enough, right, we recite that Mishnah from Maseches Peah early in the morning, right after the Birchas HaTorah. Eilu dvarim she'adam ochel peiroseim ba'olam hazeh v'keren kayemes lo la'olam haba. Gemilas chasadim, any kind of chesed, brings with it a reward in the next world, dividends already in this world. Where did Chazal get that from? So says the Svarno, they got it from the example of Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKein is an example of chesed. Again, not to the mother bird, but it's an example of chesed to the world. It's a small example of chesed to the world. That small example of chesed to the world is described by the Torah as being just one example of getting reward in this world, but the primary reward being reserved for the next. It's interesting to note that in his commentary in the Aseres HaDibros in Parashas Yisro, the Svarno similarly understands the promise that the Torah speaks about by Kibud Avraham, namely, that you'll have also Arichus Yomim, that you'll have length of days. The Svarno understands that promise isn't uniquely referring to Kibud Avraham, but it goes back and refers to the first five Dibros. So again, in both cases, the pshat, according to the Svarno, is a little bit different than the way Chazal understand it in the Gemara. Namely, the pshat is that these are not two unique mitzvahs that carry with them a unique kind of reward. Rather, Kibud Avraham and Shiluach HaKein are both paradigms of many, many mitzvahs that carry this kind of reward with them. Again, the primary reward being Olam Haba, but a secondary reward being an Olam Hazeh as well. Right, no. I mean, the Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokim Mokum Shchiach Hezeka Shaini, the Gemara says that if you put yourself into an unusually dangerous situation, that the Mitzvah won't necessarily protect you.
Yeah. Superintendent, he said that James, on the very last moment of
Yeah.
He fell, he got such a severe injury.
Yeah.
He's probably still
in the hospital. I hear. Okay. Going on a little bit, the psukim relay various different halachos. In the parak chaf gimel pasuk chaf, the svarta writes as follows. Previously, the Torah had spoken about avoiding things that caused the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael. At a certain point, at this point in the Chumash, the Torah begins sharing mitzvos, particularly mitzvos of chesed, that caused the Shechina, God's presence, to dwell more firmly within Klal Yisrael. So, for instance, Pasuk Chaf begins speaking about the idea of avoiding ribbis. In other words, that's an act of chesed. Somebody needed money, you lent him money, so don't charge him interest on the money that he borrowed from you. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Kisidor Neder LaShem Elokecha Lo Sa'acher L'Shalmo. When you make a neder, when you make a vow, don't be derelict on paying it off. What's a vow? So says the Sfarno, more often than not, that's a vow that a person makes to give tzedakah, so that's also involved in chesed. Achilas poel. A poel, a worker, is working in your field. He should be able to eat to an extent while he's working. That's an act of chesed to him, again, as per the halacha. Inyan haget. The Torah goes on to speak about divorce. And he writes, Asher ein roi shi nasein el besibas ervas davar lahasir komichshol mamzerus. A person should only, it's only really appropriate for a person to give a get in the case where his wife has been unfaithful to him. And the reason he's giving the get is to ensure that there shouldn't be any problem of mamzerus, of children born illegitimately from that marriage. Lo bezula says, otherwise, he says, it's illegitimate for the person, it's not right for the person to give a get. And we should just pause on this line in the Sfarno for a moment, because this also, on the surface, doesn't quite fit in with the Mishnah. The Mishnah at the very end of Maseches Gittin raises the question, what qualifies as proper cause for a man to divorce his wife? So, Beis Shammai there in that Mishnah says, the only thing that allows a man to divorce his wife is if she was unfaithful. Pasuk says, Ki matzo ba ervas davar, if he sees in her something that's erva related, that's, again, that could be understood as adulterous, if he saw something adulterous in her, then he's allowed to divorce her, otherwise he's not allowed to divorce her. However, the Mishnah there quotes Beis Hillel and Rebbe Akiva, who both say that that's not the bar which has to be observed in order to allow the man to divorce his wife. Even if he feels, you know, there's something amiss with the marriage, he doesn't feel that she's done anything wrong, chas v'shalom, but, you know, the marriage is not going well for one reason or another, you know, it'd be permissible to give a get under those circumstances, and generally speaking, we assume, like that position of Beis Hillel, like that position of Rabbi Akiva, that you know, there are reasons, you know, it's legitimate to have a divorce for reasons other than adultery. In light of that, the statement, sort of almost glib statement of the Sfarno, seems very difficult to reconcile with that Gemara. Ein roi shi inasein, it's not appropriate to give that the get should be given. El besivas ervas dover lahasir komich shol mamzerus. The only reason it's appropriate to give the get is in the case of adultery. That doesn't seem to fit in with the Mishnah. It would seem, unless you want to say that the Sfarno is really saying just pshat in the pasuk over here, even though Chazal directly addressed this question and said otherwise, which I think is a little bit hard to say, it would seem that what the Sfarno is saying over here is the following. It's true that we paskin that it's permissible to give a divorce, even in a case that doesn't involve adultery. However, let's pay close attention to the lashon of the Sfarno. The Sfarno says it's only ra'i, it's appropriate to only give a get in a situation where there's been adultery. You know, there are things that are mutter, but not everything which is mutter is necessarily the best idea. It's permissible. We paskin like Beis Hillel. You can give a get even in cases that don't involve adultery. But the ideal is that, no, you know, a husband and wife should stay married. You know, there could be a situation of adultery. Okay, so in a situation of adultery, then when it's appropriate to give a get. But under normal circumstances, less than that, then the Torah is urging that the marriage should stay intact and that the get should only be something which is given under certain circumstances. We'll pick up with this Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow.